Joe and Mike, Build Assets Online. Today we're going to be reacting to this video by Valuetainment, Patrick Bet David, 10 Rules to Making Your First Million. Mike, you found this video, and I think the reason why we wanted to react to it was because there were some parts of it that we really, really strongly disagree with, especially how he frames it to be like the way to make the million the fastest.
Right. Exactly. So let's jump right into it. Hopefully this isn't too long of a video, but just long enough to make the point.
That's an unflattering pause there.
Yeah.
It's all right. Let's go.
Do it. One is the fast method. The other one is the average method. And the other one is the slow method. The fast method, you'll make your first million within 5 to 10 years. High risk, high chaos, low quality of life for 3 to 5 years. You're maybe a startup founder, maybe a salesperson, sales leader.
Okay. He's saying to make your first $1 million, it'll take 5 to 10 years. It'll be high risk, high chaos, and low quality of life.
Yeah. And I mean, the truth is that we haven't found that to be the case at all. The students we have, you know, people we're acquainted with that kind of do the similar businesses that we do, I don't think that that's been the case for them. And I think what it comes down to is that it's almost kind of weird to say this, but I feel like the business, online business, is still like the wild, wild west, in the sense that if you don't have to get a brick and mortar store, if you don't have to go out, you know, deal with all the things that come with opening a traditional regular business, and you understand how to leverage the search engines and all, like, you know, just a couple online platforms, you can scale a business with minimal risk and minimal time.
Right. As much as I love Patrick Bet David, I think he is a little bit of a boomer in this area, because he probably doesn't realize that there is a whole marketplace and market of people willing to buy websites at a decent multiple. So to make your first $1 million, all that really takes is $30,000 a month profit. And if you're not making a whole lot of money online, you say, okay, $30,000 a month is a lot. But the reality is, like with the way that we do things, say with a dropshipping store or with a content site, with a dropshipping store, you can, you know, start a website, have it making money its first month, its second month, get it to say $5,000 a month profit. And that's relatively quick terms. But additionally, there's nothing from stopping you from making more of those websites. So just one website that makes $5,000 a month, you operate that for about a year, year and a half, you now have something you can sell for over $150,000, and the skills to go and just replicate that. And so, I mean, Joe, just one website that we made, we sold for $650,000, and we are by no means like anything special in this. If you go on empireflippers.com, you go on quietlight.com, another website brokerage, there's websites selling for millions and millions of dollars all the time, and they're not like startups.
Right. No, I think the point is that there are websites, like you said, being sold all the time for what I think are pretty high multiples for how easy they are to create. Like, to create a website, once you know what you're doing, requires comparatively so little money and so little effort compared to any other business that, you know, I don't know how much longer it's going to last, to be honest with you. But while it's here, I'm going to just, you know, get as much out of it as I can without becoming a total, you know, slave like he is describing in this video.
Right. His idea of making money quickly is by having a startup, which is you're starting something completely new, innovating a whole new app or service or something, or being a salesperson, just grinding it out. Where what we're discussing is making a website that's monetized through someone else's product. So dropshipping, your own product, Amazon FBA, or, you know, affiliate marketing, or even ad revenue. These things are all, minus Amazon FBA, these things are all super low risk. And they're pretty scalable. And so it's pretty, in 5 to 10 years, you should definitely be a millionaire.
Yeah. if you stick at it and you don't go off and do day trading or trading crypto or some other shiny object that you're going to get distracted with. But the truth is, that's what most people are going to do.
Right. They're not going to be willing to focus on one of these things for 5 years.
Right.
But the people that do, they will have the skills to make these assets over and over, and it won't take low quality of life. It won't take high stress. It won't take high risk. So
let's presume.
A lot of pressure is on you, and you're working 80 hours every single week. You're working on Saturdays, a little bit of Sunday, and you're going on this for like 5 to 10 years, okay? So the second one is the average method takes 10 to 20 years. Here's how this
looks. The downside of that, this is like, what if it doesn't work? You just wasted 5 to 10 years.
Like, that's what he's saying. It's high risk. It may not work.
Yeah, true. He did say that.
Plus, you're mid-level risk type of a person.
I'm just saying he presents that as the only way to make $1 million. It's going to take 5 to 10 years, and it's going to be high risk, and it's going to suck. That was why I wanted to make this video. It was just totally off base. You could, if you're willing to wait 10 years to make $1 million, you just write content and don't even spend any money on traffic. Have a dropshipping site, have content sites, whatever, but just take it ease. If you're willing to wait 10 years, shouldn't affect your quality of life at all.
I think, I think that there are some people that are going to watch this, his video, and say, yeah, that's me. That's what I want to do. I want to go. And I feel like it's not worth it. If that's the price and there's a high chance of failure, it's not worth it. So let's continue watching.
And your supporting role in a chaotic environment with a decent life, meaning you don't want all the pressure to be on you. You don't want to be the person that 24/7 you're on call. People are calling you. This didn't work. That didn't work. You're having dinner with your wife. You don't want that. You're okay with having some of it, but not full on founder. And you're okay with that. You do have equity, maybe in a startup that you have an equity in a company. Eventually, maybe you earn that equity in the company. That is your way of making the money. Or you're a salesperson that's very good in being a great market. You're very good with clients. You eventually make your first million. Last but not least is the slow method. It takes 20, 30, 40 years. This is little to no risk. You have a balanced quality of life. You come home at 5 o'clock every night, maybe 6 o'clock every night. You invest in a fund, maybe $300 a month at 12% rate of return over 30 years, which ends up being a little over $1 million. Or you do $1,000 a month at 12% over a 20-year period. You make your $1 million. Maybe you buy a multifamily home and you never sell it. Maybe your own home. You buy it. You never sell it. Maybe you've got a couple different homes. You buy the first one, take the equity into the next one.
Yeah, I mean, that one also sucks.
Why does it suck?
I don't want to come home at 5 o'clock for 20 to 30 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
that's why, again, I have all the respect in the world for Patrick Bet-David. He's far more than a millionaire. But it's a bit boomerish to think that this is the only way to make $1 million.
Yeah. I mean, I would say almost everything that he's talking about here is kind of like how people perceive. He's not really saying anything new in terms of how people perceive it in this video. I feel like the average person, if you talk to them, they might not phrase it exactly the way he's phrasing it, but when they think about becoming a millionaire, they're going to think, oh, like Shark Tank, you know,
that's a really good point. You're exactly right. And that's probably why the majority of people don't make more money or don't bother with making money online, because their perception of how hard it is to do, how long it takes, is completely skewed because of shows like Shark Tank. And because this was kind of the conventional wisdom for so long, like, if you want to make $1 million fast, you have to be doing a startup. So you have to come up with a whole new idea. You have to sacrifice your life. You have to mortgage your house, and maybe you get it. Or you got to be sales. You got to be grinding away. And so the conventional wisdom was, I don't want to do that. I'd rather just, you know, I'll come home at 5, 6 o'clock every day. And, you know, eventually I'll get that after 20 to 40 years.
You know, Mike, I also think that the FIRE movement, financial independence, retire early, kind of spits in the face of all of these methods, because it doesn't involve what we're talking about, like building websites and selling them, but it really involves getting your expenses under control for many, many years and keeping your expenses super low so that you don't need a whole lot of money to retire. I guess this is about making your first million. But, you know, even so, I think there are ways to get around that 10 to 30 year grind if you want to do it, that aren't just what we're saying with like a conventional job.
Yeah.
But I, obviously, you know, you can't be living large if you're going to be doing it that way.
Right.
To the third one.
Okay. Let's resume.
By the fourth one, you're a millionaire. That's the slow method. Now, what I want to share with you is 10 rules on the fastest way to make $1 million with these 10 different mindsets. I can come up with 50 of them, but I'm giving you just 10 of them in this video. So let's get right into it. I want to give a quick shout out to our sponsors, Gold Co. Here's what I want you to think about when
it comes. Oh, yeah, I think you got it.
Yeah. Gold.
Okay.
PBD. Here's the first one. At the beginning, say yes to everything, because later on, you're going to have to say no to almost everything. Here's what
we just did a video about 10 minutes ago about why. In your first 18 to 36 months, you have to say no to everything.
Yeah.
That was from Alex Hormozi.
Yeah. Ooh,
go on.
Let's see. I mean, I think Alex Hormozi probably made his money a bit more recently than Patrick Bet-David.
Right, right. That was the point I was going to make. I think he's a bit more savvy. He made his money, not that we were as anything close to as rich as Alex Hormozi, but the same type of things that we've done. He's, you know, he's in the Russell Brunson, ClickFunnels school of thought. That's how he kind of came up and made a lot of his money.
What I mean by, hey, you know, we're having this thing going on Friday night. There's going to be 100 people there. You know, I want to invite you to come out and network and great. You're like, I really don't want to go. Well, you go. Hey, this Saturday afternoon, we got this one thing going on. Yes, no problem. Obviously, outside of what your core business is that you have responsibility and commitments to, don't drop your core responsibility of running a company. Hey, you want to meet this person? Let's do Zoom. Do you want to meet that person? Let's go meet him. You want to have a cup of coffee? Yes. I was doing 6 o'clock breakfast at Denny's, 7 o'clock breakfast. Like literally my 6 a.m. meeting would go till 7. My 7 a.m. breakfast would show up. On the first one, I would have eggs. On the second one, I would have steak at Denny's in the same exact table. Then 8 o'clock, he goes to work. I go to my office. I have a meeting, then I have a lunch appointment at 3. I was yes. Late at night, hey, do you want to hold me to this bar? Hey, let's meet at this 11 o'clock at night. It's the only time I can meet you. It doesn't matter. Hey, I can meet you in San Diego and I want to introduce you to 5 months. It doesn't matter. I am driving. I would put 30,000 miles per year on my car just to say yes to everything, because I knew I was one client away from making my first million. I was one contact away, one relationship away. That was my mindset. So I was like, oh, it's gonna be this guy, it's gonna be that guy, it's gonna be this guy. Eventually, I met a guy at a hotel near LAX who gave me 600 leads that made me my first 30, 40 million bucks just because of one contact. But again, say yes to almost everything at the beginning. Later on, when you make your 10, 100 million, you're going to have to say no to almost everything.
Well, I feel like that's a good mindset to have if you're doing sales. Like,
right. Yeah, we're getting into a kind of a bit of a distinguishing situation here. Number one, yeah, he's chasing something to where the upside is like 30, 40 million versus what we're doing is a lot more low risk, but the likelihood of you making something that's going to sell for 30 to 40 million, you know, in 5 to 10 years is not that high. But again, yeah, if I was selling insurance or something, then yeah, maybe this is good advice. But if you're sitting at home trying to make some websites that you can sell for six figures, then I it's not really relevant.
Right. The video is about 10 rules to making your first million. But like you said, I feel like that first piece of advice he gave was really about making your first 30 to 40 million or something like that. Like it wasn't, you know, I don't think it's the best way to the first one, but it's like you said, it's almost two different goals.
Right. And actually in our experience with what we do, I feel like saying yes to things and like going out and like meeting people and networking has really been a big waste of time. Maybe for the exception of like going to trade shows.
Yeah.
Like going to trade shows has certainly made us money. But yeah, like anybody we've ever met or like information we've obtained through networking or like in-person events hasn't really moved the needle a huge amount.
In fact, it almost ruined us, Mike. I remember we went to probably the only event we ever went to, Smart Marketer. What year was that? 2017, 2018? Some conference in San Diego, like he was talking about. Conference with Ezra Firestone, who is a guru in his own right. And he literally told us to stop dropshipping. And if we would have taken his advice, I can guarantee you, I would be back at work right now.
Maybe.
I'd be driving Uber.
Yeah, he wanted us to get in our own products and start doing that. And there's so many reasons why that's just not as viable of a business model. Like,
yeah,
if I'm going to start importing my own tubs versus just selling ones that are already here. I could sell 10 different tub brands. I have my own website. I could sell the website. Just I don't know. Let's keep going.
Point number two, follow one religion. What do I mean by this? Like, think about what I see a lot of people doing, that they don't create any momentum. I like the way how he does it. Yeah, I'm going to do sales like this, but I want to do funnels like this, but I want to do this, like, but I want to do like this. And what if we do this? But I like how this guy does it. You're all over the place. Pick one religion on how you're going to get your customers and clients and stop constantly jumping. Oh, you guys do it this way? Oh, I'm going to coach you. Oh, I'm going to go. You're not creating any momentum. Momentum is created from sticking to one philosophy and constantly fine tuning your philosophy and then constantly jumping all over the place. Every time you see a new video with a new YouTuber that gives you a new idea, you switch your philosophy of doing things. You hurt yourself by doing that. Pick a religion, stick to it, drive that philosophy until you create momentum.
Now, that's probably the best piece of advice we've heard in the whole video. And I feel like that's something we've done. We've created the Bao religion. It's got its own church in France, actually.
Yes.
Where, you know, that it's high ticket, low traffic, take it easy.
Yeah.
That's the tenets. That's the
low traffic.
Sorry, like not low traffic, but like low competition. High yeah. ticket, low competition, take it easy.
Yeah. And that, see, when he talks about saying yes to everything and going out and doing a bunch of those things, he's kind of referring to it in terms of like going out and meeting people and networking. But in today's day and age, saying yes to everything means you're getting caught up in a bunch of different philosophies of how people do things. You go up, meet up with this one guy, you talk to him about he's making money, he's doing it one way. You go, you talk to someone else, they're doing it a different way. And so these two things can't really exist together in our world necessarily. You have to like kind of shut out everything for a while and just focus on who you believe is trustworthy or the model and method you believe is trustworthy. And you have to just really hammer that home until you get a result out of it.
Yeah.
Number three is leverage. Leverage is key. And by the way, what I mean by leverage is leverage salespeople, leverage the right funnels, leverage the right contact, leverage the right relationship. It doesn't matter. Your main thing is to leverage. It could be leveraging somebody else's money. It could be leveraging somebody else that gave you an investment to help grow your business at the beginning. It doesn't matter if you want the faster way. The key is to have some leverage. You only have a certain amount of hours you can work in a week. I would sit down and say, okay, I got 80 hours, 200 hours I can do. How can I leverage this to be 100 hours? Well, what if you got two salespeople that do 50 a week? Okay, great. How can I leverage? Everything was about leverage, leverage, leverage. So the ones that get there the fastest typically have the right leverage, tools, technology, software. It doesn't matter.
I think the big takeaway for this one, Mike, is like I said in the beginning, when you're in the business of selling websites, your leverage is unbelievable because right. You don't need salespeople. You don't need all, you know, investment. You don't need all these things that you're describing. You can do everything on a shoestring budget. And once you get the knowledge, you know, you'll get the knowledge and then you'll have a little bit of money rolling in, because you will have done stuff. And then you have your own money to reinvest and maybe grow a website a little bigger. So I feel like the business that the religion that we teach, the religion that we teach and preach really coincides with what he said there.
Yeah, you don't have to leverage your grandfather for his last $50,000 so you could start your t-shirt company. Like the tools and the software that you need to really maximize leverage to make your first million is already in place. You have Shopify, you have WordPress, you have Empire Flippers, you have Quiet Light Brokerage. You have a million different apps and tools connected to those things. So you don't need a lot of money to have to hard code, you know, an email capture thing, to hard code a funnel. It all already exists for you. All you have to do is, like you said, leverage something that you can make a lot of money with per sale. So high ticket product. You can get agreements with these people so that you don't have to carry their product. You don't have to take inventory. You can get low competition traffic. And boom, you're making high ticket sales. You have a website with profit history. And then you can sell that for 20 to 40 times its monthly profit. That's all the leverage that you need to make your first million.
All right, let's keep going.
Think, ask yourself, what can I do to leverage, to expedite the process of making my first million? And when you interview other people that are successful, ask them, what technology, tool, relationship did you leverage to speed up the process of you winning? You'll be amazed how much you can learn by asking people that question. Point number four is protecting your credit score. And it's very, very important at the beginning stages of it. It's kind of tough to do what you want to do if your credit score is in the 400s, 500s, even 600s. If you got a high credit score, that gains you credibility. But also, credit score isn't just your FICO with Experian, TransUnion, or Equifax. If you say you're going to be there at a certain time, be there earlier. If you say you're going to send a certain email, do it. If you make a commitment to certain people, keep them. Protect your credit score, because people will say, I can rely on this person because he is very, very reliable. When he or she says they're going to do something, they do it.
I just want to make a quick comment, Mike. In terms of credit score, there's no way to build your credit score better than high ticket dropshipping, because you sell the stuff and then you buy it from the supplier and like you're not taking out a loan or using, you're only using your credit card for stuff that's you've already sold.
Right. You're not going into debt. Like you don't have an investor you need to pay back.
You're not buying stuff that you think is going to sell in the future. You're buying stuff that already sold. So
that, that's really the only way to ruin your credit is to buy things that you cannot pay back. Yeah. And so if you're doing that in your business, I just feel like it's an unnecessary move given the fact that there's so many ways to make money, dropshipping, content sites, Kindle publishing, whatever, that don't require a lot of money. It don't require you to go into debt. And like you said, build your credit score on things where you've already made the money back. You got a sale, pay the supplier, boom.
The beginning, this matters. It's always going to matter a lot, but it's going to matter even more at the beginning. Point number five, at the beginning, it matters very much for you to specialize way before you generalize. Meaning, don't say, I do loans for $500,000, $10 million, $1 million, but I also do escrow, I also do real estate, I also do this, I also do that. Stop it. Pick one. Whatever it is, pick one of them and specialize. You can generalize later on when you make your first million, but one of the biggest mistakes to make before you make that is to constantly try to generalize. Specialize. One product, one niche, one market. Master that, then generalize if you need to, but at the beginning, specialize.
So he says to specialize in one product, one niche, one market. When you're building websites, all that goes out the window. You should be specializing in the process of building a website and getting traffic to the website. The niche, the product, the market, that does not really matter. Because, you know, if I get traffic to a bird website, I can get traffic to an insurance website because it's literally the same process over and over again. But the question is, can I get that traffic? Did I put the work in figuring out how to do Google ads? Did I put the work in figuring how to do search engine optimization to get that traffic?
Yeah. Once you figure out the process, you can have four different websites and four different niches.
So yeah, I really did really disagree with him on that point. And
This is for like, if you're an insurance salesman or something.
Yeah. I mean, and that's kind of the lens he's coming at it from, right? He sells insurance.
I don't know. I think so. That's what you told me.
Oh yeah. His original business is in insurance. Right. Pretty sure. All right. Let's keep going.
Point number six, stop waiting for customers to come to you. They're not going to find you. It's your job to go find them. Meaning prospecting's got to be to the roof. Back in the days, I would go up with fish bowls and I would give away dry cleaners and I would put it up in five different places. I would go to the local Subway, Quiznos. I'm going to give away 10-foot-long sandwiches for somebody that drops their business cards. I would call one of them, winner, send it to them. Everybody else would love to take you out to lunch. I'm a local business owner wanting to build a relationship with yourself. It doesn't matter what I was doing, but today, here's what I'd be doing today. So let's just say I live in a big city. Let's pick LA, okay? Let's pick Dallas. And Dallas metropolitan is the big city, right? But I would go and look at the hashtags on Instagram outside of Dallas, say I'm a realtor. Let's say Addison. I would go to the hashtag Addison, Texas. There aren't a lot of people that are going to put a hashtag Addison, Texas. But then I would go on that hashtag Addison, Texas, and I would see people that just use that hashtag, and I would network with them. Hey, picture posted with the Cowboys jersey. Hey, man, love the Cowboys jersey. Got on. Great to see another Cowboys fan. And then you put those things out there, then you DM them. So what do? I notice, I'd love to get together with you and talk to you and tell you what I do. And you tell me, no problem. And then maybe if you're real estate, you're developing relationships.
You know, I actually don't think that marketing strategy is bad. I know my wife has done stuff like that for her business, which is a little bit like, you know, not like local like that, but she does stuff like that on Instagram, and it worked pretty well for her. And I think she doesn't do it right now, but when she does it, it always works pretty well. But my God, I don't want to do that.
I would like, I'm in pain just hearing that.
Yeah.
That's like that's just the worst thing imaginable for me.
Yeah, having to go on
just grinding like that. That's like that Gary V shit, dude. Just grinding and grinding. You're giving out Quiznos subs, you're DMing people about the Cowboys. Like, there's gotta be a better way. Maybe we should sell insurance, dude.
Why? Then we gotta do this.
I feel like we could figure out a better way to do it. If insurance is our product,
well,
it's just a way more high ticket product than what we got.
Maybe
doing that again, I think this is why the majority of people don't have more money. They don't do things on the side, like make content sites, dropshipping sites, whatever. Like they don't believe it's possible, or they have so much resistance to just grinding like this. just DMing and doing all these random things that may not have any outcome.
Yeah. And it's, you know, people might watch this and say like, oh, you know, maybe we're biased or, you know, unrealistic. Like what we do, selling websites, building online businesses, like in an easy way, like that's not the only way to do it as well. Like I was watching this YouTube guy. I really wanted to, but I didn't have time to like get into it, but he built his whole business on like web scraping. So the point is he scrapes the web and he kind of like presents data to, he does have clients, but he like presents data to different people. But the whole point is, I think when you're selling insurance, there's no like skill involved. Like there's no
same with being a realtor.
Right. There's no skill. Like the thing is the thing. Like insurance is insurance. The house is the house.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You just need the person to sign up with you.
Right. That's the really skill. The skill is building the house. The skill is building the website. The skill is building the web scraping thing. So I feel like investing in truly mastering a profitable skill is really what you should be focusing on. And I mean, not everyone, I guess you gotta have a really special type of personality to be in this mode that he's describing. And I've met people like this, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
I've
for some people, this is, they're fine with this. But the majority of people, I think it's very incongruent and just painful for them to like do this without any idea of the type of return that they can get. You spend all this time, you're putting a fishbowl in the frigging Quiznos. You got to, people dropping business cards. You got to call a bunch of random people. You have like no idea the return that's going to generate. And if it doesn't generate anything, you've wasted all that time.
Right. I don't like doing things where it's a guess on whether the ROI is going to be there. I like investing my time into, you know, doing things and building skills where if I do this, the ROI is going to come.
Right. If you learn how to do SEO, you could turn that into building websites. You could turn that into having an agency, you can turn it into having a content writing gig going on. There's a million different plays you can do, but the point is that if you're mastering that skill of SEO, you know it's going to pay off and have an ROI in the long run.
Yeah, and I know people. So I've gone to like my wife was into like this networking thing for like a month or something, and I've gone to like these networking events, and everyone's either an insurance agent, a real estate agent, or something like this. Like I've seen this exact thing right in front of me. There's business cards flying everywhere. It's crazy. It's almost like a cult, I think. Like once you go to networking 360, let's go.
Relationships.
Like we used to watch that girl that would, you know, just talk about networking and host these networking events. And it was like the most BS thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was nothing. It was not about anything. It was just, it was just networking meetings to network. What are you networking about?
Nothing.
Let's keep going.
Through that, maybe your insurance, maybe your finance, maybe your product or something else. But there are so many ways to prospect today. Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. To say prospecting has become easier than ever before is an understatement. But you can't sound like everybody else. You got to figure out a way to do it in a more creative way. It's almost like how a lot of people say, well, you know, he was kind of sliding in my DMs. If you slide in people's DMs as a customer like everybody else is doing, they're going to find that right off the bat. You have to have a creative way to get to them where almost they're asking you, what do you do for a living? But anyways, if you want to make your first million the fastest, prospect, do not wait on people to find you. You go find them. Point number seven, make a list of the top 50.
I want to just add one thing. In the businesses that we do, our idea of prospecting is showing up when people are searching for exactly what we're selling. So if someone is searching for a home bar, and I have a website that sells home bars, I want to show up for that. And why? Because their buying intent is high at that moment. Right. I don't want to prospect to just random people because they might not be buyers. I want to get in front of
them. I'm not DMing everybody that's in Addison, Texas about the Cowboys saying, hey, yeah, where'd you watch the game? In your basement? You have a bar?
Let's go on.
the influencers you want to get close to and then put a strategy on how to get close to them. Let me give you an example. So let's just hypothetically, you live in Kansas City and there's this realtor that's doing $3.2 million income last year and everybody knows who he is, right? How do you get close to that person to have lunch or coffee with them, okay? Maybe you're in real estate and you want to get close to the top three influencers who are in accounting and they run an accounting firm and you want to get close to these guys because accountants have clients who may want to purchase a home, and so that's your way of getting close to these influencers. I put a list together of the top 50 influencers I wanted to get close to and then strategy on how to get close to each one of them in my own creative way. Once I got in front of them, you don't ask for nothing. You don't sit there and say, let me tell you, here's what I'm looking for. No, all you say is, how can I help you? You give them contacts, you gift them a book, a relationship, and then...
This sounds kind of like sociopathic.
That's what you got to be doing this.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, at the end of the day, whether you're a sociopath or not, you got to be social jujitsu. You got to be able to manipulate the social world to get what you want out of it.
God, socializing is hard enough. You had all these extra layers and I might explode.
Gradually, they're going to say, what do you do? Once they ask you what you do, you tell them, here's what I do, X, Y, Z. And then they say, I have somebody I want to introduce you to. Fantastic. But in a subtle way, you protect and you water these influencer relationships. The more you water them, all of a sudden, five of them are going to give you context that's going to change your life. And that's exactly what happened to me. Hang tight for this next one. It's going to take me a minute to explain to you, but it's going to make all the sense. For the right person, this may be the only point you remember. I'm working at Bally's. Bally's changes their comp plan. This is 20 years ago, 23 years ago. They changed their comp plan. Guys that were making 150 are now making 50. Everybody's looking at going elsewhere. This is when Bally's went bankrupt. 24 Hour Fitness and LA Fitness bought a bunch of Bally's. These five guys, I'm one of them. We're all looking to see where we're going to next. One guy goes into real estate, works with this guy, picks up great habits from this guy, makes $10 million, does very well, invested into real estate. He's doing good now, makes, you know, a few $100,000 per year off his investment properties. He's very happy. He's chilling. He did the right thing. 10 years, he went on a 10-year run. He did good. The other two guys went after a cool guy to duplicate who would always go to this club called Garden of Eden. Coke, drugs, X, everything. They duplicated. Oh, I closed this much money, but let's go do this. Let's go do that. Let's go do that. These two guys were beasts. I'm talking beasts of competitors. Two of my favorite guys in a company that we were friends with. So they went and worked under that guy for 2 or 3 years. The next thing you know, they're starting their own company. Guess what they're doing? The same exact thing, except worse. One went to jail. One lost 3 of his houses, a bunch of the Rolls Royce that he owned. One got deported. Tax situation. Ugly, ugly.
Well, that sounds like a situation that I'm familiar with.
Why?
Making all the money and then blowing it on different things.
What do you mean? How are you familiar with that at all?
Not for me, but for others that I know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a common thing that people do.
Yeah. It's very common in general, people. I think.
Yeah.
Duplicated the wrong habits. I chose to go to a different route and had, you know, good examples that I work with, a lot of personal life examples, those things, the things that matter the most, values, principles, all that other stuff. That is almost as important creating your wealth as it is. I'm going to work with a guy that's making millions because you need the right principles. It's not just about making the money. It's also about keeping the money. More is caught than taught. If you do choose to work under somebody that's very, very good at what they do, how they live their personal life matters just as much as how much money and success they have. This next one is so simple, but it's so hard to do. Track your savings and your expenses. Let me explain to you what I mean by this. It was as simple as for me. I liked a lemonade, but I would drink water and I would put lemon in it and sweet and low and turn that into lemonade, tastes the same, but I saved myself $2. So if you did that 3 times a day, $6 over 300 times a year, you understand $2,000. What's $2,000? It was so, I was
like, pause. I don't understand because he's talking about making $30 million on one hand and he turns around to saving $2 on lemonade.
I think I just thought it was funny that he liked lemonade that much.
Yeah. I mean, that's quite anchoring.
It's an odd drink to like. It's not that good.
With the sweet and low, nonetheless.
Oh my god. Yeah, no, I don't know.
Which one is it? Are you doing something that's so high ticket that you can make $30 million? Or are you trying like the saving the $2 on lemonade is like the 20 to 40 year plan or like the financial independence retire early stuff where they're just trying to throw everything into the retirement funds?
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. I highly support that lifestyle. But yeah, if you're hitting the Quiznos and the Subway, throwing your business cards everywhere, yeah, I don't know. I feel like there's got to be some immediate like payoff where I'm not scrapping for the lemonade. I'm not making my own.
Yeah, if you save $2 on lemonade, you're scraping the bottom of the barrel financially. But then at the same time, you're also you're also making $30 million? I don't know.
Lemonade, man. Why?
Because you got to make $1 million before you make $30 million. Like, I don't. Is insurance where you're not making anything and all of a sudden you're making a lot? Real estate, I guess, is tough because, you know, you got to get clients. Like, most people fail at being real estate agents.
Well, is that because real estate is tough, or it's because the barrier of entry to get into real estate is quite low?
Well, the barrier of entry is low. Therefore, every schmuck can get in, and they just do crappy jobs. So yeah, maybe they need to not spend the $2 on lemonade because they suck at real estate, so they're not going to get a lot of clients. But I don't know.
Right, let's keep going.
Focus. With $250,000 in the bank, and everybody's asking me why the hell. I eventually have to get a call from one of my chairmen who called me and said, "Patrick, it's embarrassing. Go buy yourself a nice car." I said, "I don't want to. I'm saving the money. Why would I do it?" "Trust me, people are thinking you're broke." I said, "I just show my statement. I'm not broke. Can you just get a car?" Finally, I bought a car because for me, I understood cash is king. Cash allows me to work with a lot of confidence. And if you're trying to grow at the beginning stages of it, opportunities come along. Every 18th of the month, I would run my credit score. I would track all my savings, all my funds, my investments, my expenses, my credit cards with the highest payment. Everything, every single 18th, I would do this report with myself on this Excel spreadsheet that I track on a monthly basis. So track your savings, track your expenses, and increase your income. Point number 10, you're going to have a lot of distractions during this time. A lot. Girlfriends, parents, weddings, anniversaries, birthdays, bunch of distractions. I eliminated negative distractions and I replaced it with positive distractions. Life is filled with distractions. Being married is a form of a distraction, but hopefully it's a positive distraction. Having kids is a form of a distraction, but is a positive distraction if done right. Exercising is a distraction because it takes you a couple hours to spend time taking care of your health, but it is a positive distraction. The more positive distractions you have helps you eliminate negative distractions set you back. Positive distractions help you go to the next level. So find ways, make a list of all the distractions you have in your life today and figure out a way to convert those to positive distractions. Trust me, kids who go and finish high school without making any of the big mistakes, their parents did a very good job creating positive distractions in their life. Just like you had some positive distractions in high school, you need the same old positive distractions as an adult. If you got value from this video, give it a thumbs.
All right, we've reached the end. I don't have much more to say on this. Do you?
I think it's interesting that he had $250,000 in the bank and he was saving $2 on lemonade.
No, I think that's good. I think at that point, you're not really past the threshold yet. You know, I don't know if he was married at that point, had any kids, but...
Yeah, I guess if you have like... Yeah, if you have $250,000 in the bank, you still got a mortgage payment to make. You got like your expenses pretty... Yeah, you got kids. If your expenses are high, then yeah, I guess it's really not that much back in the, you know...
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, I'm just saying if you're, you know, working, I don't know where we're going with that, but buildassetsonline.com/class. Yeah. If you want to learn how to do everything that we talked about in this video and hopefully not fall into one of these categories because they all sound miserable and terrible. And right now, I mean, I don't want to say right now, but I would say for the past 20 years, I don't know how much longer it's going to last. The online business world is the wild, wild west, I think. People say it's not, but I think it is. I think it's amazing that we've been able to do what we've been able to do with online business. I look at other brick and mortar business owners, like, you know, I wouldn't want to do it.
Right. I mean, the online world is constantly changing, but yes, right. For the past 20 years, for the past 10 years, 5 years, it's been a very good place to make money. And we've been able to create and sell over $1 million in websites without having to spend 10 years, high risk, 80 hours a week to do it. Not to say that it doesn't take work, it does, but if you're doing things towards creating a skill set, towards creating a website that you can sell for 20 to 40 times its monthly profit, then everything becomes easier. The blinders can come on, you can focus in on something and you can make it happen without nearly killing yourself. So buildassetsonline.com/class, see how we have our 7-figure business portfolio set up, how we've sold over $1 million of websites, and how you can do the same thing. Go there, enjoy, but as always, take it easy.